Sunday Meditation, October 15th, 2000. The question today has to do with the level of anxiety and tension and stress and rush and hurry and angst that we see all around us in the world today. We see it not only in other people, on the highway, at the workplace, in any place we meet people, but we see it in ourselves as we go through our daily round of activities. We're wondering if Quo could give us some information concerning how we could deal with experiencing, dealing with this angst, both as we see it in other people and as we see it in ourselves. Is there any message that's being delivered when a life is lived in this fashion? Is there anything we should take from it besides what we see on the surface? We would appreciate anything that Quo might have to say.
We are those of the principle known to you as Akuma. Greetings in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator in whose service we are. As always, it is a great privilege to be called to this session of working. And we thank each in the group for asking for information of a metaphysical nature, for seeking for the truth, and for looking in unexpected places, such as this group. We greatly appreciate the opportunity to share our opinion and our thought, with the understanding that these are opinions and not authoritative statements. We ask that each listen carefully to what we say with an eye to keeping that which resonates and releasing everything that does not. For we make no claims to be anything but your brothers and sisters in the metaphysical journey, in the school of learning that creation is, and in the opportunity to serve, which creation constitutes also. May we learn and serve together and help each other. This is our hope, and we assure you that you are aiding us, for to be able to respond to your call enables us to work on our chosen method of service to others at this time. This is a great blessing to us. We enjoyed listening to your conversation concerning the various self-perceived imperfections of each person's efforts and living. From our point of view, since we are able to see the shining hopes and good intentions of the heart, each entity looks a great deal more successful, shall we say, than the opinion of each self was about itself. And we encourage each to realize that much of the self-perceived imperfection of the personality shell as seen by the awakening seeker is an artifact of culture and manifestation in general, and can in no wise be translated in a linear manner to represent the actual placement of the vibratory pattern of the mind, the body, and the spirit. In actuality, the essence of each of you resonates far below the level of surface consciousness, so that while the irritations and anxieties of the day may well destroy and cut up the conscious peace of the seeker, as far as the self-perceived experience of the seeker, in actuality, the service of the seeker, as far as offering its essence in a relatively positive way to the planet and to its people, continues to go on without a great deal of disturbance. This seems almost impossible to comprehend from the standpoint of the conscious mind, because to the conscious mind, there is no essence. To the conscious mind, there is a system of thought about the self which constitutes the virtual self. Other selves are seen with much more balance by the self than the self, because of the fact that they are not perceived as the self. Consequently, if you find yourself gazing at other people concerned with their imperfections and sympathizing with them, we may encourage you to do the same to yourself. For that instinctual reaction that you have to the struggles of a person perceived by you as a well-intentioned person, which perceives itself as imperfect, has more balance to it. And you may trust that the instinct that saw the love in another's heart is the shadow of that heart itself that is within you, that is in actuality transducing the love and the light of the infinite creator in relatively unimpeded form, despite surface angst and anxiety. There are many layers to the question of where an antsy feeling may come from. The one known as Romy, in framing the question originally, asked if the experience of underlying antsiness was personal or cultural in nature. The basic question originally had to do with that underlying tone that lies behind actions, rather than the actions or their irritability factors themselves. That is to say, the one known as Romy was saying that there was this concern and that concern, this purchase and that change. But after those matters were disposed of, yet still there remained an underlying feeling of restlessness, anxiety, and itchiness that could not be explained by any particular physical or consciously known problem. And we may answer that in general there is both a cultural and a personal component to such angst. Let us look at the cultural component first, or shall we say the global or transitional component. For And there is within your inner planes a tremendous amount of change and transformation going on, which has to do with not only the movements of the people upon this planet through metaphysical transformational times, but also the planet itself, which is moving in its physical body and in its finer bodies through just as substantial and primary a change. The pressure of growing electromagnetic alteration in the planetary web is creating energies which are perceived by sensitive people, especially those who have awakened spiritually, as creating new layers of vulnerability and fragility within the personality shell and the conscious mind. And this pressure comes not from the conscious mind, but from the considerable depths of the subconscious mind. That portion of the mind being unable to speak, but being far more nearly aware of the changing situation as regards the inner planes of the planet and as regards the energy system of each awakened seeker. For those who have not yet awakened, the same pressures are coming to bear, but the reactions widely vary. Some experience the so-called New Age or transformational energies as activators of repressed negative emotion. It is as though instead of awakening the instinct for peace, unity, and harmony, these energies are so sharply other than those energies which are useful to the personality shell and the energy set up of that unawakened being, that there is a snapback or bounce back effect where these energies are distorted in a phase shift that is deleterious and that continues being deleterious until the unawakened seeker either chooses to awaken in the positive sense or chooses to become more negative. In other words, there is in the global energy web being received by the population of your planet an enhancer or exaggerator of choice. When there has been no choice made, the energies create a great deal of confusion. Consequently, for this component of the angst affecting the peoples of your planet, the most effectual way of dealing with it is to retain and maintain an awareness of choice, of the dimensions of personal choice, so that when energies begin to be more and more disturbed, and when this itchiness, anxiety or angst moves into the weather of the mind and the body and the spirit, the more effectual use of the intellect and the analytical and reasoning abilities that are at the disposal of the seeker revolves around framing the situation in terms which offer to the self an ethical choice, a way to determine what is of service to others, and at the same time, what is a balanced action in terms of placing and maintaining the boundaries necessary for a peaceful self that has its own safety within itself. The one known as Steve was talking about the need for balance, to see both sides of the situation and yet to come to some decision that finds that which this instrument has often called the golden mean, the middle of the road that expresses both charity and wisdom and encapsulates the best of both. Oftentimes, this framework fails, as this instrument was speaking earlier of, with regards to herself. And we say, yes, often, whether the reason for angst is cultural or personal, self-perceived failure will occur, and it is one more situation which is spiritual in nature, which has a rhythm, a beauty, and a plan. The difficulty always is in retaining enough balance, faith, and common sense to remember the truths and the principles that inform not just the conscious mind, but the life and the essence of the being. This instrument has a phrase that she often invokes when a situation seems hopeless. She will say, take it to a higher level. And we find this to be, in a global sense, in a transformational sense, sound advice. When it is perceived that there is an uncomfort, a discomfort to the self, this perception is simply a truth. It is a fact. The self is uncomfortable. It does not necessarily lead one to a specific response. Therefore, if it is possible, in framing such a response. We recommend taking the opportunity to find the true and deep feelings of the heart on the subject which seems to be causing the anxiety, and moving with those feelings if at all possible. However, as we said, when self-perceived failure occurs, we encourage each not to further berate the self for the failure, for it is only an apparent failure. In actuality, these actions, just like the action of elements with each other in chemistry or in alchemy, are going through certain transformations and changes, and certain products are being created. The thing about chemistry in general is that if you do not like the result of an experiment, you can start over and do it differently. And often in your receiving of catalysts, you get the opportunity to repeat again and once again those things which you are rehearsing and practicing, so that you have any number of opportunities to look for that special grace which opens the heart. Now, in addition to the planetary energy transformations that are now taking place upon your planet and are causing underlying anxieties and feelings of tension on a global basis, there is also a self-perpetuating, self-regulating system of catalyst and experience that informs the gradual spiritual evolution of each awakened spirit. Each of you and each of us has a body system. It is not a simple thing. Each of the 7 sub-densities of your density has proper to it a physical or metaphysical vehicle, or a combination of the two. Each of these vehicles has chakras. Each of these 7 chakras in these 7 finer bodies is related in some way and connected in some way to the chakra system of the physical body. Further, these bodies interpenetrate, and there can come to be fairly interesting and unusual systems of connection where there have been repeated lessons which have been distorted in a certain way, and connections have been made between chakras, or between chakras in the finer bodies and chakras in the physical body, all of which can cause, shall we say, glitches in the system. Places where energy is held, places where energy is leaking out through holes in the aura, places where there is overactivation, so that there is a constant feeling of tension simply because a chakra has gone into a subjective perception that it is needed in an emergency activation. And so it is firing at full capability at all times. This is undesirable and unbalanced. Indeed, it is far more desirable to have a relatively weak chakra system that has been balanced, so that energy is coming through the entire system at however limited a rate or however slow a speed. Far better to have the system open and energy moving completely through it and out into the earth plane than to have a tremendous amount of energy being pulled through the body because of an overactive chakra or chakra system. While the energy system is not capable of transducing this energy as it moves through, the transduction of energy from the infinite energy that comes from the Creator is not a simple process in itself, and so this would be another area of inquiry to look into. However, we feel that there is too much detail in this for an introductory talk on anxiety and emptiness. When the energy system of the body needs balancing, there are many ways to work on the balancing of the system. As always, our first recommendation is to use the key of silence. For silence in one way or another, whether by silent prayer, by visualizations, by meditation, by contemplation, by simply walking in nature. Silence has the space in it to hold divine thought. Divine thought is a natural balancer of energy systems. When your prayer goes up, when your call goes forth for inspiration and for peace, it is heard. And immediately responses are being made. They are being made in silence. Consequently, if there is constant clamor from the mind and from the heart and from the spirit, the responses will not be able to come through into the energy system. Therefore, using the silence after the prayer or the plea is a very helpful move to make, and we encourage it. We cannot say how long it may take in terms of your time, for that feeling of response and healing and reassurance to move into the heart and to take root there. But we can say that it will shorten the time of healing, or rather it will shorten the time before the conscious mind becomes aware of the healing, to move into the silence and to spend time simply resting in the knowledge that you have been heard. The tuning song this day was Let It Be. And this is wonderful advice. When, as the one known as Steve said, you have done all that you can, what can you do but let it be? When you have given your all, when you have solved every problem you can find, what unrest and disquiet you are left with is an artifact of your energy system. in the way it amuses you at this time to think. Consequently, you can drive yourself crazy trying to think about how you think, which is usually a bootless inquiry. Or you can shake off the dull fatigue of trying to figure out that which cannot be figured out, and determine that which is the next thing that feels right for you to do. For beyond all of the thoughts about living a life in truth, each moment, there is a situation where there is an awareness that is caught into flesh, and we also are caught into a certain type of flesh and are embodied and have personality. We are the limitless caught into limit. We are living paradoxes. We are not linear beings. We will often not make sense. And the angst and anxieties that come to those who are beginning to seek spiritually will always be vastly more deeply felt and more uncomfortable than those difficulties experienced by those who are not attempting to accelerate the pace of their evolution, but are simply attempting to live through the day. We are not those who would recommend the attempt to live through the day on its own merit. For we realize that seeing the self as a creature of work and food and rest creates a feeling of bestiality or animal nature that is simply not accurate in describing the nature of an awakened spirit. The awakened spirit will be more fragile, more tender, more easily bruised, and more in need of setting firm boundaries. For there needs to be that place where it is safe to be yourself. We hope that each of you is able, even in the darkest moments of anxiety and sorrow, to support and encourage the heart of self, to believe in yourself, and to know that you are worthwhile, and that those things that you hold dear, those principles that make your heart lift and your spirits soar, are indeed worth living for and worth dying for. In personal anxieties as well as cultural and planetary ones, it is also well to take it higher. Remembering that as people in incarnation with relationships, there will be times when there is found no higher ground. Nevertheless, my friend, that higher ground is there, existing, if nowhere else, within your essential self, within your heart. Third density has to do with choice. This is the key to this question. At this time, we gratefully thank this instrument and would transfer the contact to the one known as the Jim. We are those known to you as the Crow. We transfer.
I am Quo, and greet each again in love and in life through this instrument. At this time, it is our privilege to offer ourselves in the possibility of answering any further queries which those present may have for us. Is there another query at this time?
You know, I've been dying last 2 weeks just wondering what homework you've done and what answer you have for me. So, if you could be so kind and wow me.
I am Quo, and though we are not aware of a query, we are sure that there is one that you have for us. Would you please vibrate it at this time?
Certainly. It goes back to the question from last time and the time before the gathering. Was the question of the size of the moon and the sun being so coincidentally the same size? And the first time you did not know the answer, the second time you hadn't thought anymore, and I was asking you, with your various resources, if you could find that answer and how you went about finding it.
I am Quo, and we are aware of your query, my brother. When we attempt to seek for that which we do not know, we look to the heart of our being for that which is important in our seeking. And when it is of great enough importance, then it is that we attempt to become that which we do not know. In this instance, we do not seek for the answer to this information, for we feel it is unimportant and is not central to either our service or our own learning. Rather, we would suggest that instead of being concerned with the external artifacts of the astronomical illusion, that you look instead to the sun and the moon of your own inner being. Is there another query, my brother?
I guess friend, Romy, who we all think so highly of, to put it delicately, do you know any nice ladies that we could introduce him with and kind of, you know, steer towards his way?
I am Paul, and though we are aware of your query, we are unaware of such an entity. Is there another query?
So, no matchmaking services.
Yes,
sir. I think I'll turn it over to others at this point. I've exhausted my tweaking of you today. Thank you so kindly.
I am Paul, and we are thankful also to you as well, my brother, though we have offered so little that is satisfying to you. Is there another query at this time?
I'd sort of like to follow up on what you said to Steve. The sun and the moon kind of moved me back into not just astrology, but alchemy. And the Tree of Life figure, the glyph, I don't know, some systems look at one side of the tree as lunar and the other side of the tree as solar. And certainly there is a resonance in me to what you said, just from the standpoint of the sunny self or the daylight self, and then the shadow self or the nighttime self or the dark side, whatever you want to call that, that are both us and hopefully well integrated, but sometimes it's very upsetting to see our shadow, and sometimes maybe very upsetting to see the moon. Is that the direction of thought that you were suggesting? And would you like to say anything more about that? Because I find that very intriguing.
I am Qualand, and I'm aware of your query, my sister. Your interpretation of the sun and the moon of the inner self approaches that which was intended. There is much of the radiance and much of the magnetism, much of the male, much of the female, which each entity embodies within the incarnational pattern. The information that was given through this group concerning the archetypical mind began to deal with some of this information. And we are glad that you have looked deeper than the surface of the, shall we say, original query. Is there a further query?
Kuol, just in case you haven't heard it already from Don, I wanted to share with you his joke about the moon and the sun. Don always felt that the moon was more important than the sun because it gave you light at night when you need it. I should enjoy that. So thank you very much.
I am. And we indeed enjoy the humor of the sun and the moon. And indeed would add that we have also heard through an ancient philosopher of yours that the old moon can be cut up into many small pieces so that new stars are. Is there a further query at this time?
I guess kind of going back to that, the answer to that really wasn't as important, or what I was really getting at is when you don't know the answer, you don't feel it in your heart, and you must go, how should I, for want of a better word, look outside to find the answer. What process do you use? How do you go about finding those type of answers and dumbing the answer down to their density?
I am Quo, and I'm aware of your query, mother. Though we are unsure as to whether you wish to know how we find answers for ourselves, or how we determine answers that we share with this group.
Either.
The latter is done by attempting to assess that which would be of assistance. That we carefully assess the line beyond which free will is infringed is known well by each in this group. When we attempt to determine what is of value for our own seeking, we look at those qualities which are what you may call eternal. Those qualities which are so now and ever, that we may apply them into our life pattern. Thus there is much that comes before our notice that is of little import in our own seeking, for there is much that moves about one that is, shall we say, of a background kind of influence. That which is of central importance in our seeking, those qualities and principles which are true throughout all times and places, are those qualities upon which we would attempt to build our understanding, shall we say. And in our realm of experience, understanding is possible. Whereas in your third density illusion, understanding is not possible. The intellectual mind offers so little that may assist one in the seeking, that to pander to it and to fill it with useless facts is that which we see as being not of service, and continuing to lead an entity in a direction in which the illusion does such a good job already. For there is so much that one must know, or attempt to know, in order to cope within your daily round of activity. Thus, when we attempt to share with those of this illusion, we look at not only that which is of service in that it does not infringe upon free will, but that which will move one more firmly towards the heart of the seeking. And that is, my friends, to move towards one's own heart in the interior sense, in the sense of opening the compassion for self and other self, in engaging the mercy, the willingness to forgive and be forgiven, the making of amends with those with whom you have a difficulty and disturbance. Thus, what we see as helpful is oftentimes not seen as helpful to those who seek our assistance. And this is the way that we see the third density illusion. So many entities are moving in directions which do not directly aid in their own evolution, and yet in the long run of events there is no other journey that is taken. Thus there is only the evolution of each entity at each instant in the life pattern. However, when we attempt to be of service to entities such as yourselves, we feel that it is important that we maintain the focus upon those qualities that are not transient, that do not change from day to day, from illusion to illusion, and that we attempt to inspire that which is beyond the intellect. for there is so much that already requires the use of the intellect that many feel it is too reliable a partner in this seeking concern. Thus it is a delicate balance that we walk and we attempt to serve. Yet we do so joyfully, we do so without hesitation where we can, for it is a great honor for us to be able to move with you in your seeking and your service. Is there another query at this time?
No, I think that answers it. I think I'll have to read the transcript and think about it and think some more about it. But I guess I was just looking on how do you learn, how do we learn. That direction of knowledge. Thank you.
I am cool. And again, we thank you, my brother. Is there another query at this time?
I have one. I have a question, Paul, about something you have said earlier in your answer, and that was looking for something you do not know. You have said that you will first look into the heart of your being to see if there's a value in seeking that answer, and then if there is, you would try to become that which is unknown. And I wonder if that is technique that can be used in the third density. And if you have some more comments on it, if it is something we in third density can eventually use for our own learning.
I am quote and am aware of your theory, my brother. And this technique has but limited use in the third density illusion, for this illusion is one in which the veil of forgetting, as we have heard it called, plays such an important role. This veil of forgetting allows each entity to focus the attention upon the present life experience in a very focused manner. This same ability to focus in such a finely tuned fashion is that which mitigates against the ability to become that which is sought. For to do that, one must be able to move through this veil and beyond the veil. The attempt to empathize with those about one with whom there is miscommunication or difficulty of any kind has a limited possibility of success, for each entity is aware of its own emotions, thoughts, experiences, dreams, and desires, and therefore can begin to feel for another entity these same expressions of energy. Thus, there is some use in becoming or attempting to become another entity, in order to understand that entity's relationship to the self. However, for other areas of investigation, we feel this is not a technique which would be helpful in your particular illusion. Is there another query?
No, thank you for your answer.
I am cool. We thank you, Michael. Is there another query at this time?
I'd just like to follow up on Steve's question about dumbing down information into third density, and it kind of triggered something in me because I'm aware in the channeling process of having to translate concepts into words a lot of times, well, all the time. I mean, virtually all the time, I basically feel that I'm getting bits of it, and I'm doing the best I can with it, but that there's so much there. There's so much in
each concept that I'm getting that I can't possibly express it. I can't get it all out, you know. And so I'm aware of part of the dumbing down process, if you want to call it that, or part of the refining process of moving from the way you think to the way we think in third density consciously. If you'd like to make any more comments about that, I can really see the operation of the intellect here. And both Steve and I are bright people, and we run through a lot of information. And perhaps Steve even a lot more than I do, even. And it's not so much that there's an intrinsic value in the information placed on it by us, as that it's like a net that's set wide through waters to pick up little bits of plankton. You know, like you never know what's going to come into the net. But again, that's intellectual restlessness. It sort of feeds back into the question for today. So what I'm asking is, would you like to talk any more about that transition from the information that you have to offer from your point of view to what you can get through a channel like me or Jim?
I am Paul, and aware of your query, my sister. In your illusion, there is the seeking for the heart of self. All queries of substance may be related to this seeking. We may share with each that desire to fully open the heart, each to the other, and may relate those queries of substance to this seeking. Thus, there is no necessity to, as you say, dumb down a answer or a query, but to seek its simplest level of expression, which each heart may understand. Is there a further query, my sister?
No. Thank you.
I am quiet. Again, we thank you, my sister. Is there another query at this time?
The meditation I'm on, is it, I'm using that as a crutch? Or is it really helping me just stay on for a while? I don't know. It's just I've had so much trouble with meditation that I'm so weary of it. And I just would like to know if it really in my best interest to be continuing some of my meditations.
I am quote and am aware of your query, my sister. And at the correct instrument, and a direct answer is not possible for us here, for it is to infringe, to advise to the point of specificity. However, we would suggest that in your meditative state, as you ponder this query for yourself, you will be able to make a clear determination as to whether or not to continue this course of ingestion of prescribed medication. We encourage you to seek there your own answer and to trust yourself in this seeking. For it has been well said that each entity knows the answers within the heart to the queries which have importance to the heart. Is there a further query? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I am quiet. We thank you, my sister. Is there a final query at this time?
No, just thank you.
are also filled with gratitude at the opportunity to join this circle of seeking. And we thank each individual for inviting our presence and for being able to accept little in the way of helpful responses in many cases, for we find that the way of confusion often limits that which we make sure. We hope that each will continue to seek with the strong desire that has brought each to this circle. We applaud the steps that each moves upon the inner journey of opening the heart and sharing the love that is found there with all who come across the path in the daily round of activities. We are known to you as those of and we would take our leave of this instrument and this group at this time, leaving each as always with love and in the ineffable light that we want to be free. Adonai.